Hello guys, this is Clint Locklear from Man Strong. This is probably not going to be a very long show today. I did an hour show last week. And I just have something that's on my mind that I think guys need to understand. The fitness industry has a massive individual scatterbrained marketing system that plays off emotions of people in many different ways. If you're fat, you want to be skinny. If you're skinny, you want to be muscular. If you don't have abs, you want to have abs. What is strong? What is not strong? Should you be on TRT? What does that mean? Does that mean that you're now steroid head? All of this crazy stuff that people have. And now in the industry, you have all of these, what I consider like a Nickelodeon. Think about young people, Nickelodeon. Kids that read studies that don't quite understand just because it's in a lab or a small group of people that it has massive application, but they try to sound like it does, and it's very confusing. There's a lot of confusion in fitness. And as we get older, I think we need to be able to decipher what is important to us and what's important for, say, someone that's 22 years old that just wants to look good, way goes drink beer out on a boat somewhere. As we get older, things are a little bit different, or they should be probably in priorities. And I want to talk about one today, which is core strength, which seems to be one of the most confused topics out there. Because you have, well, we'll get into that in a minute. Before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They have everything that you need for trapping. They have stuff for hunting, fishing, copper trap tags. You just need to check them out. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan is a super guy that runs a tight ship of a business who will take care of you as a customer. And even if you're not a trapper, you may be surprised what you find on there that will help you in other aspects of being an outdoorsman. So let's get back to the topic, core strength. When I watch stuff on Instagram, and I've read lots of books on fitness, there seems to be two camps. And as you're aging, you need core strength. Without core strength, and you sit in a car on a long drive, your back sloops over, everything gets tight, and you feel like crap when you get to your destination. Or you're moving furniture and stuff around, and you start tweaking your back, and most of the time, that's because you do not have core strength. Now, the part of the fitness industry, the part that's all about looks, where it's everything is about looks, where there's not worried about function, where they're not worried about real life application, they're not worried about any of that. They're worried about looks. What do you look like when you take your shirt off if you're a male and a female sees you? That seems to be the most important thing. Now, hopefully, as mature males, as we grow up, we realize that's really not that important to a female. They don't want big, flabby, jiggly, just over obese. But at the same time, when you talk to women and you get to know them and you kind of bring stuff up, really ripped, super ripped guys, most women do not find that attractive, which I'm grateful for because I happen to like to eat. And I want to be able to drink wine when I eat dinner sometimes. And I don't want to be so worried about how I look that I'll never have a scotch with some buddies. Super ripped is something for a male, especially older, is not healthy. When you get down into a body fat percentage of probably 5 to 8, 9% body fat, talk to the people that get ready for bodybuilding shows, read some information or forums about people that get ready for bodybuilding shows. They feel like crap. Their libido is gone. They have no energy. All they do is daydream about eating something. And a lot of the hormones that make a healthy person healthy are so jacked up at that low a body percentage for most males that it is not a healthy state. Now, if you're older, say 50 and above, or maybe even 40s, and you're at that type of body fat percentage, not only to me does that sound like a sad life. Now, let me put that this in a different way. If you're naturally super lean, naturally, like you can drink beer and eat pizza, still have an 8-pack, still see your obliques, well, that's one thing. That is your body's natural set point. You're not really working for it. Maybe you don't eat just as much as you want to of ice cream or desserts or something like that. That is different. I've known super lean people that it doesn't matter what they do, they stay lean. They got to really, really, really try to add on some body fat. That is very different from an average person that wants to go from, say, 20% or 30% body fat down to 7 or 8% body fat to go on vacation or something like that. One, you're probably not going to enjoy your vacation because you're going to be all jacked up hormonally. You're not going to have the good vacation sex because your libido is going to have been gone a month ago and it's probably not going to come back for 3 months. But as we get older, what happens? Life. You get pneumonia, you get in a car wreck, you get sick, you get COVID or something similar like that, whatever the next thing's going to be. And you need to have reserves on your body. Now, I don't think this is a reason to walk around like a basketball with legs. That's not what I'm talking about. But you need to have a little bit of body fat on you, because if you get sick and you're not eating and you start losing weight, you don't have any fake fat for energy. You're going to start stripping muscle, which is going to make you weaker, because that's the only thing the body has left to cannibalize from. As you get older, you do not want to be super heavy, because how many super heavy 75-year-old people do you see? Very, very few, because the other ones have passed away. Large, super large, is not helpful. And neither is super skinny. Now, why did I go on that little rabbit hole? Because the fitness industry, and there's a lot of people that are my age that are trying to sell programs and coaching and all that, which I think is great, that their whole focus is, what do you look like with your shirt off? Now, we all want to look good with our shirt off. That's just human nature. Everybody wants to look good naked. But if that's the only thing, how functional is that in your everyday life? That's the big question I think we should contemplate as individuals and not fall for the marketing of the fitness industry. And people talk about core strength. You want to know what core strength is? Go watch a strongman competition. Go watch a powerlifting competition. Watch some elite Olympic lifters. Watch somebody like King Henry from the Titans work out. You want to see what core strength is. That is core strength. And you know how they didn't get core strength? Sit-ups and crunches. Core strength is not the ab muscle just because you see little ripples. That's not what it is. Core strength is the ability to not cave in under pressure. And you're not going to get that from 100 reps of crunches. See, in the military, we did a lot of sit-ups. We did a lot of flutter kicks. I don't think we ever did crunches, but we might have. We did yoga one day out of 5 years I was in the Army, and it about killed us all. Because there's a lot of core strength in yoga. I've got a friend, he's a little older than I am, weightlifting, all that. His wife talked him into going to yoga. And the biggest thing that he noticed, even with all the weightlifting, and he's a very active guy, lots of walking, hiking, stuff like that, is he said, I can't believe how weak my core was. How's that possible? Because when he does take his shirt off, you can definitely see he has stomach muscles. How's that possible? Because core and visible abs are not the same thing. And I want to talk about some different ways to get core strength. I think it is, besides the posterior chain, which is your back, glutes, hamstrings, calves, I think core strength is probably the most secondary thing that you can really work on. And it's pretty simple on how you work on core strength. Now, it is not easy to work on core strength, because to build your core up, you got to do a little bit of grunting and grinding. The easiest way, and I remember Joe Rogan talking about this one time, if someone wants core strength, give them a big kettlebell, probably 60, 80 pounds, 100-pound kettlebell, and have them walk a couple hundred yards with a kettlebell only in one hand. And if you, I don't care if you got visible abs or not, watch what happens when you do that. Get a bucket of water in one hand and start walking. You'll start folding over. See, because without core strength, you can't hold up to the pressure of the weight that's pushing down towards gravity. That's an easy thing that anybody can do. You don't have to have specialized equipment. You don't have to go to a gym. Fill a bucket up with water or sand or rocks, or a big dumbbell, or like I have the type of dumbbells that go from 20 to 120 pounds and they're interlaced. And I can just switch them out really quick. Now, I do have farmer carry implements that I'll do one hand sometimes, two hands sometimes. Both will work core, but just a single hand will tell you if you have a strong core or not. And I don't care how big your chest is and how big your shoulders are and how much your biceps are bulging. If you've got a weak core, you're not that functional in life. That should really be, instead of how much you bench, how strong's your core. And that should be asked without ever someone having to show if they have abs or not. When you look at Brian Shaw and the guy from Iceland that was in the Vikings, the big knight, that has the highest deadlift record in the world right now. And Eddie Hall, the beast. They don't have the narrowest hips. Now, for one, they're big dudes. But people with strong cores don't have tiny, tiny little waist. For the most part. Especially as grown men. It's different when you're 22 years old. But if you're going to have a strong core, that means you're building armor all the way around from one rib to the other side of the rib going in the front. And to be able to have muscle there, it's going to take up space. And if it's taking up space, you're not going to have the perfect little V taper like someone in classic bodybuilding is looking for. They'll have the abs, but they're not going to have that strong of a core. Bodybuilding is about looks. Everyday life is about functionability. So what are some different things that we can do? I've already talked about just picking something up and walking in it with one hand. Take a sandbag, depending on how strong you are. I've got 75, 125, and 150-pound sandbags. And I will just pick them up, hold them on my chest, and walk for about 50 or 60 yards. Drop them down, catch my breath, pick them up, walk back. Drop them down, pick them up. It sounds a lot like work, don't it? Because it is. But when you're done, you're going to feel pretty good because you're going to feel stuff that you hadn't probably felt in a while. So maybe if you're starting off, maybe just grabbing a 45-pound plate will be good enough. Or a couple of 45-pound plates. Just pick them up, walk with it. You can take a sandbag and put it up on one or the other shoulders. Like say your right shoulder. Pick it up, put it on your shoulder, and walk. See, the thing about core that ab people don't understand, it's about functionability. And functionability means you have to be able to move. That's very different from crunches. That's why strongman stuff builds super core strength, because everything is based off moving. Like when you deadlift, you're not moving. The goal is to move as less as possible. When you're benching, the goal is to have the shortest bar path so you can have the most amount of weight. Powerlifting with squats is you bend way back in your hips so there's less actual movement to get at parallel for a competition. But you'll notice about all these movements, you're not actually moving anywhere. That's where stuff like what we're talking about comes into play. When I do sit-ups, I do decline sit-ups with a 60-pound kettlebell. I do them slow and I do them controlled. Is that really a core movement? I don't know, but it burns and I don't like doing them, so that's the reason that I do them. One of the goals you should have is to be able to move objects. I've got a keg, which I got from a nephew that happens to work in a restaurant, and he saved me a keg, and I've put about 70 pounds of water in that keg, and my neighbors get a kick out of me because I'll go out in the yard and I will bend over and throw it up over my head. Amazing core strength with explosion when you do that. Pulling a sled, walking with a wheelbarrow, especially up hills. So now I don't really do wheelbarrow work where I'm walking on flat ground anymore. I walk up a hill, it's about 40 yards altogether, and I will stack the weight. Now, if you don't have implement, because guys, they're not cheap to get a wheelbarrow that's designed for weights, unless you're handy and can make your own. You're not going to be able to put as much weight in a real wheelbarrow as I can on this thing. It's mine is designed. I could put 600-700 pounds on mine. I normally don't go above about 350, but I can put a lot more on there than I can do. And I push it up the hill frontways, and then I walk backwards down the hill, controlling the weight a lot with my lats and back. Then I'll flip it around, and I will pull it backwards up the hill, keeping my arms close to my side so my lats and back are very activated. And I kind of raise my shoulders so my traps are highly activated. Your lower back is activated, but what makes a wheelbarrow such an amazing core exercise is every time you pick your foot off the ground, your core has to adjust or you're going to fall over. Now, you don't realize you're doing this unless you realize you're doing this and you can concentrate on it. So every time you pick your foot up, your body has to adjust with your core so you don't fall over just by pushing a wheelbarrow. That's pretty cool. Stuff like a plank, super for your core. Just get in a push-up position and stay there. You can go down and stay, or you can stay up. If you're not very strong at that, put your hands up on a bench so you're at more of an angle. There is things that you can buy for about 30 bucks at any sporting goods store, and it's just a little wheel, like a front of a wheelbarrow, with two little handles. Start on your knees, you roll it out as far as you can, and then you pull your body back up. So you're going towards the ground, you roll it out till your arms are straight, and then you use your arms and your core to bring it back up. Eventually, you can get where you can do it on your toes. Amazing core on that. One of the old favorites from Westside is they called battling chains. And the closest I can figure out with this is they had chains on something that was like a lat pull down, and you would kind of pull the lat pull down, then you would move it from side to side. Well, at my home gym, I don't have a way to do that with enough weight. But if I put two green bands on the top of my squat rack back towards the middle using one of the center posts, I can drape that over the top, and I'll put my curling bar in there where it's the curling bar is hanging from the two bands. Green bands, if you don't know that, are about 120-pound bands. So you can get any type bands at wherever you're at when you're doing this. You grab out on the very ends of the curling bar. So your arms are going to be a little bit wider, depending on your sides and shoulder width. And what you want to do is try to push one side down to the outside of your thigh. You're not trying to bend straight over. You're trying to bend down to the side. Woo! You want to talk about lighting some stuff up. And just because you get it down, don't let it jerk you back up. No, that's the way a girl would do it. Oh, let me say it a better way. That's the way a boy would do it. You want to control that band that's trying to whip you back up, because you just put basically 120 pounds of pressure on one side of your obliques, and you want to control that back up. Then you switch to the other side. Two or three sets of somewhere between 5 and 10 reps, and you're going to be smoked. That's how you build core. Pick up stuff and move with it. I've got a thing that I do because of in my business, when I go to load totes, which is full of lure, and some of these lure totes are a couple hundred pounds each, and I'm picking it up off a pallet, and I'm bending over, and I'm putting it on a cart so I can get it out to the truck, where I pick it up again and put it in the tailgate and slide it in the truck so I can make deliveries. I set up two benches that are about 4 feet apart, and I'll put a 125-pound sandbag on the end of one of the bench. I'll reach over and grab it, pull it to my chest, twist and kind of take a step and set it down on the other one, get my balance back, pick it up off that bench, pick it up, twist and set it down on the other one. Do not be afraid to move your back. Because if you've got a spine that only knows one action, which is what a lot of weightlifters only know because they've been taught that's how to be the safest on the back, they're building a very weak core by being that way. It's okay to round your back. If you watch, get online and watch people lift up Atlas stones. I've got one Atlas stone. I call it the devil's nutsack. It weighs 150 pounds. It is not fun. Because the only way you can grab that off the floor and pick it up is to have a rounded back. It doesn't have handles. You're not in a deadlift position. You think about, you're going to bend over with something that's only 2 foot tall, and you got to wrap your arms underneath it and pick it up, roll it up your body. See, that's having a back that's rounded, and a lot of weightlifters will say you should never do that. Yeah, you should never do that if you hadn't trained for it and you've got a weak back. Some other basic stuff that I think is really good for core are kettlebell swings, especially heavy. Depends on what that means to you. I like doing things that they call wood choppers with a kettlebell, where you're actually moving the kettlebell off to your side and up and back down. Holding a big heavy kettlebell, say a 60 or 80 pound kettlebell, and just hold it in front of your body and slowly twist your body to the left and to the right and to the left and to the right. Spreading your legs and moving a kettlebell between your legs like a figure eight in both directions. All of that will build core. But you know what we hadn't talked about? Crunches, leg raises, stuff like that. I'm not going to judge anybody that does those exercises, but I don't understand why. If you look at someone like Eddie Hall, when he broke the deadlift record before it was broke after him at 1,100 pounds, I believe, he was weighing 400 and something pounds. He lost a little bit of weight, and you can see his core. Yeah, he's got the big, thick abs. So, like, if he's put a shirt on, it kind of looks like he's got a gut, but he doesn't. That's the mass of muscle that's around his core. And you can see his obliques. And we're talking someone that's dieted down to probably 315, and he's got abs. Most bodybuilders at 315 don't have abs. See, Eddie Hall, because of pulling the vehicles, pushing the vehicles, lifting the Atlas stones, throwing the kegs, farmer's carry, yoke walks, all of that stuff that you do in strongman, builds such a tremendous core that a little bit of weight loss and stuff starts showing up. But it's never going to be super tiny and V-shaped. And I think that's okay. As grown men, I don't know why we want to think that we're going to look like we're 22 again. We're not. I guess if you took enough steroids, ate a certain way for so long, you could give the illusion of looking like you're 22 again. But you're still not going to look like you're 22, because you're going to have an old dude's head on pretty much a young man's body, and it looks weird. So when you're making a decision that you want to be a strong, competent male, core strength is definitely needs to be on the top of the list. And having the pretty waist, I'm not sure should be the goal. Now, everybody's going to make their own decision. Everybody's got their own goals. I don't judge anybody for what they do when it comes to fitness. I really don't. As long as they're doing something, they get two thumbs up from me. But if you look at it from a logical and rational point of view, I think the biggest thing that males that are older should work on is their posterior chain. It keeps them healthy. And the second thing is their core strength. And then you can start thinking about shoulders and quads and chest and biceps and all that type stuff. posterior chain and core. That's a strong individual. That's a competent individual. And I guarantee you, someone that's like that has got a ton of confidence. And if, say, you are single as an older male, your confidence is going to get you way more women than the little 8-pack abs and the little bitty tiny waist. Because real women aren't going to be concerned with that. But a strong, confident, capable male, you want to talk about high value to a woman? There you go. All right, guys, think about what you're doing. Think about why you're doing it. Build those cores. You'll stand up straighter. You won't get as tired easy. You're not going to be tweaking your back all the time. You're just going to have a better life in general. And it doesn't take a tremendous amount to build your core. If you're doing chest, one way to look at how you can build core without making it so boring, I guess, if you look at doing work, stuff like that, is while you're doing a regular workout, work in one real core exercise at a time. So if you're doing chest and shoulders, take 2 or 3 walks with a sandbag holding it up to your chest. The next time you're working out, why not do a farmer's walk for a couple of times? On your back day, throw in some deadlifts. If you're at a gym that has a yoke, play around with that yoke. Don't try to break world records with it. You're just trying to build up. Pick up some sandbags and throw it over your shoulder backwards. If you've got a wheelbarrow, fill it up with something heavy and walk around with it. You can do all this type of stuff as you're doing regular workouts. It doesn't have to be a dedicated day. And if you do a dedicated day to strongman type stuff, as you get older, please understand one thing. You're going to have to recover from that. But if you do a little bit each day, you just get super strong and you don't have a massive recovery that you've got to get around. That's what I do. I try to do something core related or strongman related every time I work out. Also, do a leg exercise every time I work out. I don't have a dedicated leg day. I do legs 5 or 6 days a week. Today I'm doing walking lunges. Tomorrow I may, if I go to the gym, Roco here in Rockwood, I may actually do a leg press. Day after that, I may do leg extensions. Then I may do some behind the legs deadlifts, which are called Zercher squats, with my heels raised. And I'll do like 4 sets of those. But see, by doing the strongman stuff and the leg stuff just one set, I don't have to take 4 days to recover before I can do something else. My legs are growing. They're getting stronger. My core's getting stronger. And I don't have to destroy myself and dig such a deep hole for recovery that I've got to take several days off. As we get older, we got to be smarter. Not weaker, but smarter on how we stay strong. Now go build a core.